There were many paths that led up into the Misty Mountains, and many passes over them. The dwarves and the hobbit, helped by the wise advice of Elrond and the knowledge and memory of Gandalf, took the right road to the right pass. Long days after they had climbed out of the valley and left Rivendell miles behind, they were still going up and up and up. It was a hard pass, and a dangerous path, crooked and lonely and long. Far, far away in the west, where things were blue and faint, Bilbo knew there lay his own country of safe and comfortable things and his little hobbit hole.
Summer's getting on down below, and haymaking is going on, and picnics. They'll be harvesting and blackberrying before we even begin to go down the other side at this rate. Oh, it's cold up here.
One day they met a thunderstorm. More than a thunderstorm, a thunder battle. The lightning splintered on the peaks, and great crashes split the air and went rolling and tumbling into every cave and hollow. The darkness was filled with overwhelming noise and sudden light. They were camped high up in a narrow place, sheltering under a hanging rock. Across the valley, the stone giants were out, hurling rocks at one another for a game, and catching them and tossing them down into the darkness where they smashed among the trees far below or splintered into little bits with a bang.
This won't do at all. If we don't get blown off or drowned or struck by lightning, we'll be picked up by some giant and kicked sky high for a football.
Well, if you know of anywhere better, take us there.
Feely and Keely have gone to search for better shelter. They should return soon.
There they are, holding on to the rocks in the wind.
We found a dry cave.
Not far around the next corner. Ponies and all could get inside.
Have you thoroughly explored it?
Yes, yes.
It isn't all that big, and it doesn't go far back.
All right, let's go. And carefully. It's quite a fair size. Not too large and mysterious.
I'll just light my wand and look around a bit.
Put the ponies over at that end.
At least it's dry.
And out of the wind.
It seems safe enough.
What about a fire to dry our clothes?
No fires. Spread your wet things on the floor and take some dry clothes from your bundle.
Lay out the blankets and let's get some sleep.
When they were comfortable, they dropped off to sleep one by one. But somehow Bilbo could not go to sleep for a long while. And when he did sleep, he had very nasty dreams. He dreamed that a crack in the wall at the back of the cave got bigger and bigger and opened wider and wider. And then he dreamed that the floor of the cave was giving way and he was slipping, beginning to fall down, down. At that, he woke up with a horrible start and found that part of his dream was true. A crack had opened at the back of the cave and was already a wide passage. He was just in time to see the last of the ponies disappearing into it. It was goblins, big goblins, ugly-looking goblins, lots of goblins, six to each dwarf at least, and two even for Bilbo. They were all grabbed and carried through the crack, all except Gandalf. When goblins came to grab him, there was a terrific flash like lightning in the cave, a smell like gunpowder, and several goblins fell dead. The crack closed with a snap. Bilbo and the dwarves were on the wrong side of it. The goblins seized Bilbo and the dwarves and hurried them along the dark passageway. The goblins began to croak, keeping time as they went.
Ah,
Black. Crack.
Grip.
Grab.
Pinch.
Nab.
Down, down to Goblin Town you go, my lad. Clash, crash, crash, slash.
Hammer and tongs.
Knocker and gongs.
Pound, pound.
Fire and the ground.
How, oh, my lad. Swish, swack, whip, crack.
Batter and beat.
Yammer and bleat.
Round and round.
Bar and the ground.
Blow, my leg.
It sounded truly terrifying. The general meaning of the song was only too plain. And now the goblins took out their whips and cracked them and whooped as they drove their captives along. Finally, they stumbled into a big cavern, lit by a great red fire in the middle and by torches along the walls. It was full of goblins laughing, stamping, and clapping their hands. There, in the shadows on a large flat stone, sat a tremendous goblin with a huge head, and armed goblins stood round him carrying axes and bent swords.
Who are these miserable persons?
Dwarves and beasts! Let go of me!
We found them sheltering in our front porch.
What do you mean by it, dwarves? Up to no good? Spying on the private business of my people, I guess. Thieves, I shouldn't be surprised to learn. Murderers and friends of elves, not unlikely. Come, what have you got to say?
Thorin the dwarf, at your service. We sheltered from storm in what seemed a convenient cave and unused. Nothing was further from our thoughts than disturbing goblins in any way. Whatever.
So you say. Might I ask what you were doing up in the mountains at all? And where you were coming from? And where you were going to? In fact, I should like to know all about you. Not that it will do you much good, Thorin Oakenshield. I know too much about your folk already. But let's have the truth, or I'll prepare something particularly uncomfortable for you.
We were on a journey to visit our relatives who live on the east side of these truly hospitable mountains.
He's a liar, oh truly tremendous one.
Several of our people were struck by lightning in the cave when we invited these creatures to come below.
And they are as dead as stone.
Also, he has not explained this sword.
Murderers and elf friends, it is the sword we call Biter, which the elves call Orcrist. It has killed hundreds of goblins in its time. Take these dwarves away to dark holes full of snakes and never let them see the light again.
Slash them!
Beat them!
Right! Nash them!
Suddenly, all the lights in the cabin went out, and the great fire went off, shoof, right up to the roof. Then piercing white sparks scattered among the goblins, burning holes in them. Suddenly, a sword flashed in its own light. Bilbo saw it go right through the great goblin as he stood dumbfounded in the middle of his rage. He fell dead, and the goblin soldiers fled before the sword, shrieking into the darkness.
Follow me, quick!
It was you, Gandalf.
Yes, Yes, we must hurry. The torches will soon be relit. Are we all here? Let me see. One, that's Thorin. Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, 11. Where are Keely and Feely?
Here we are.
Ah, 12, 13. And here's Mr. Baggins, 14. Well, well, it might be worse, and then again it might be a good deal better. No ponies and no food and no knowing quite where we are, and hordes of angry goblins just behind. On we go.
On they went. Gandalf was quite right. They began to hear goblin noises and horrible cries far behind in the passages they had come through. Since poor Bilbo could not possibly go half as fast as the dwarves, they took it in turn to carry him on their backs. Still, goblins go faster than dwarves, and these goblins knew the way better. They chose out their very quickest runners with the sharpest ears and eyes. These ran forward as swift as weasels in the dark, and with hardly any more noise than bats. Quite suddenly, Dory, now at the back again, carrying Bilbo, was grabbed from behind in the dark! He shouted and fell, and the hobbit rolled off his shoulders into the blackness, bumped his head on hard rock, and remembered nothing more.
You've been listening to The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien, adapted for radio by Bob Lewis, and featuring Ray Reinhardt as Bilbo, Bernard Mays as Gandalf, Tom Luce as Thorin, Carl Haig as Elrond, and Gail Chug as the narrator. Also heard in the cast were Pat Franklin and Joe Hughes.